Praise the Lord. One more second. Are you guys excited to be in church this morning? Come on. Let's go, right? God is here. God is here. It doesn't matter how chaotic everything is inside your pastor's mind right now. God is here. So let's take a moment right now and let's just give praise to God for who he is. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here, God, that we don't have to worry, God. We don't have to be afraid. But Lord, in you is everything we need. Come on, let's just lift up our voices right now all across this place. Let's just take a moment right now to say thank you, Lord, for the incredible gift that you gave us on that Christmas morning, that God, because of you, we can know life and we can have life everlasting, God. That Lord, it wasn't enough that you saved us, but you promised abundant life here. And God, that because of you, Lord, you make us new, you make us better. God, that in you is everything we need for life and godliness, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your spirit that's at work. And, God, we thank you that, Lord, you are on the move. Lord, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, God is good. Amen. Go on. All the time. God is good. And all the time. God is good. Amen. All right. Well, we were going to talk about gifts this morning. And we've been going through a series. We've been talking through the different gifts of the wise men. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we acknowledged the other gift that was given that Christmas morning, right? Right. And I thought, wouldn't it be funny if we had a drummer come out here, and in all the chaos of the morning, I didn't take a look at my notes until just now. Anyway, so this is my illustration for this morning. So everybody, just give me a courtesy laugh. Just laugh for me. Such a good, amazing illustration. The point of the illustration was going to be, after I talked with the drummer boy, and he's like, I'm not even supposed to be here. And I said, well, then why are you here? And he said, well, actually, the point of Christmas isn't the gifts that were given. It was the one gift, right? It was the one gift that God gave to us. It's not so much about the wise men. We've been talking about the wise men's gifts because they foretold who Jesus would be. And so the gold showed us Jesus as the king. The frankincense reminded us that Jesus was the high priest who would eventually give his life for us. And myrrh pointed to that sacrifice. It pointed to that sacrifice that Jesus would make in order that we might have peace with God. And each gift revealed who Jesus is. And then I was trying to think about a fourth gift, and I came up with the little drummer boy thing, and that was, anyway, I'm going to put these on the keyboard now, and that's the last time you guys will see them. Today, though, we're going to talk about the gift that God gave to us. We're actually going to talk about it this morning, and then we're going to talk about it this night as well, because it's a gift that God has given in Jesus, that comes through Jesus, that is for our benefit, that is for us, that is something that God wants for us. And so what we're going to see today is that the greatest gift of Christmas isn't something that we give, it's something that God gave to us. Truth is, early on, most of us learned that love was conditional, or at least the feeling of love, the feeling of acceptance was a conditional thing. That if we performed in a certain way, we would get love, we would get attention, we would get approval, right? But if you left your toys out on the floor, then mom's not happy with you anymore. And so those feelings of love, those feelings of the warm feelings, the happy feelings, they all go away when mom's not happy. But then if you picked them up, then all of a sudden the relationship was restored and everything was better, right? Or some of you guys, it was you played sports, and if you made the team, then dad was right there. He was sitting in the stands. He was excited. If you didn't make the team, you noticed that he was a little more distant. He didn't come to other things. He only wanted you to participate in sports. Or if you brought home good grades, then you'd get money, you'd get rewards, everything was great. If you brought home bad grades, what did you get? You got a lecture, right? And so you learned that your acceptance, your approval, even inside of your family, is conditional on certain behaviors. In school, attention followed achievement. If you've got perfect attendance, they bring you up front and they give you a certificate. If you don't, then you don't get that certificate. And if you get straight A's, and if you get them all throughout high school, then you get to give a speech at the end. Everybody else just has to sit and watch. And so even in school, you learn that attention follows achievement. And so what we start to learn through all of these things, and it's not intentional. Right? Your parents didn't set out to give you this idea. Even the school didn't try to indoctrinate this into you. But what happens is you start to learn that love is something that you can earn instead of something that you receive. It's just the world that we grow up in. Somebody does something nice for you, you want to reciprocate that thing. Somebody excels in something, you want to come and give them attention. It's natural. But it's not the best way. It's not the way that God had for us. And what happens is, because we learn that this is the way the world works, we start to project that onto God as well. We start to look up to God and we start to say, okay, if I want to please God, then I need to, and you've got your checklist of things, right? I need to be a good person. I need to help people that are in need. I need to make sure that I'm, you know, staying far away from sin. And so we start layering on all of these different things to say, I want to get acceptance. I want to get approval from God. And so this is how I need to do. But the question today is, what if God's love doesn't start with what you do, but instead it starts with who he is? Let me ask that again. What if God's love doesn't start with what you do, instead it starts with who he is? What we're going to see is that God is love, and now this love flows through us. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at that first, actually this is going to be the announcement before Jesus is born. Now, we've talked a lot about Matthew the last few weeks. This was one of Jesus' closest followers who walked around with him, learned from him. He was a tax collector, the Bible tells us. So he was kind of an enemy of the Jewish people. And then Jesus brought him in to the fold and said, okay, I want you to be one of my disciples. Eventually, Matthew would take to writing up an account of Jesus' life. And this is what we have preserved for us in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this whole passage right now. It says this. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Everybody say God with us. This is the critical part of the Christmas story. This is the moment when everything falls in place. As Joseph is having this dream, he's talking to this angel, and suddenly there's a realization that happens of exactly what's going on. And it starts in Joseph, but it should trickle out to all of us as well as we read this account where he says, you will call his name Jesus, because he is going to save the people from their sins. And then everybody is going to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's hard to quite understand the weight of that statement, because you have to understand the culture and stuff that was happening that they were in back then. But we've grown up, most of us, exposed to the Christian religion, where we understand that God is with us, and we understand that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. We understand that God is always around, that he's in everything, that he's omnipresent. The Jewish people back then, they understood the largeness of God, but they didn't understand the personal nature of God. And so when God was revealed to Joseph in this way, to say that God is with us, this is a mind-blowing thing to try to comprehend. It's hard to understand this. So maybe try to picture it like this. What if I was setting all of this up right now? I'm talking to you guys about God and talking to you about how Jesus is with us. And then I was like, and now, coming from backstage, I've got Dolly Parton, who's going to come out and sing a Christmas song for us. And if that was true, and if she was coming out, then you guys would erupt into applause. You guys would probably scoot forward a few rows. You guys would be sitting there with anticipation, with electricity. There would be a whole new excitement in the room when I said, look, here's somebody that's coming that has done more, has seen more, has been to more places than we have, that everybody knows her, and she decided to come to us. I'm telling you guys today, there's somebody that's done more, been to more places, has seen more, and experienced more than us, and he came to us on Christmas morning. Isn't that incredible? Come on. So, in the ancient world, and even today, gods were seen as distant, temperamental, that they needed to be worshipped, or the crops wouldn't grow, or the neighbors would invade, or there would be new diseases and plagues that would spring up. And so they knew what a god was supposed to be like. And when God showed up, when God came to earth, and he didn't come to earth the way that they expected, we talked about this a little bit last week, but he didn't come with a parade. He didn't come in a palace. He didn't come to sit on a throne. When he came in that way, it was to show the people that he wanted to be one of us. He wanted to be with us. Man, just, Father, thank you. Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, thank you that you came that Christmas morning in order to save us from our sins. So when we understand then not just that Jesus was born, but why Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, it should change everything about us. It should change everything that we experience. So we're going to go now from one of Jesus' followers to another. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to spend a bit of time over in 1 John chapter 4, John was another one of the apostles who traveled around with Jesus. And he wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote three letters in the New Testament. And then he wrote the book of Revelation as well. Those of you guys that have been doing the Bible reading with us this year, we're in the book of Revelation right now. And it's an interesting book. So if you haven't had a chance yet, you should definitely go back and read that one. But for right now, we're going to be in 1 John. This was a letter that John wrote to the churches in Asia Minor where he was ministering. And he wrote it because he was trying to correct people's understanding of who Jesus was and to show them that joy was found in following Jesus. He says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says this. This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What we see here is that because of God's love, he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So in other words, what he's saying here is that God, because of his great love, sent his son that we might have life. Jesus said that that greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for one's friends. And then Jesus not only said it, but he modeled it for us. This whole series we've been saying that there's no Christmas without the cross. That the birth of Jesus didn't mean much on its own, but because of what Jesus did for us, there is incredible weight behind it. In fact, we're all here because of what Jesus did. But it started in that manger, right? It started 2,000 years ago. It started in that little town of Bethlehem. It started in such a humble, small place. And it revolutionized the world. This is God's love for us. Amen? Amen. All right. So skipping down a few verses to verse 18, it says this. It says, now, so he's talking about love. He's talking about how God is love. Now he says, there is no fear in love. If you found love, you should have no reason to fear anymore. And if you're fearful, lean in to the source of love, right? There is no fear in love because perfect love drives out fear. When we find perfect love, we can find somebody that is not only big enough to meet our needs, not only strong enough to meet our needs, but has the desire to meet our needs. He wants to come. The Bible says he wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to pour out his love upon you. And the first and the greatest example of this is what happened in that manger. This was the gift that God gave us, this gift of his love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. If you're afraid, it's because you're afraid that something bad is going to happen to you. But the one who fears is not made in perfect love. We love because he first loved us. Everybody say with me, say, let's say, he first loved me. Say, he first loved me. One more time. He first loved me. Come on. This isn't about, let me say it like this. We don't have to be afraid any longer of not measuring up. I talked at the beginning about that idea of conditional love, right? We don't have to worry that we're not good enough because none of us are. Let me say that again. We don't have to worry about not being good of us. Come on. We don't have to worry about not being good enough because none of us are good enough. Amen. But he loves us. And he proved it. It's not enough that he just said it. He showed it. And that's what Christmas is all about. Come on. He says, you don't have to worry about measuring up. You don't have to be afraid that your best isn't good enough. You don't need to worry about competing with your neighbors anymore. Instead, you can be content. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have hope because of what Jesus did. You can find wholeness in him. There's no reason to be afraid any longer. Imagine going back to Bethlehem in the hills outside of Bethlehem. There's shepherds watching over their flocks at night. What happens to them? There's suddenly a choir of angels. First, there's one angel, and then there's a whole host of angels. And what do the angels say to the shepherds? It's interesting because you almost get this picture that the angels are like supposed to be just watching, but they just can't help themselves. They've got to tell somebody. And so they pick out the people that are the outcasts. They pick out the people that are pushed aside, the people that nobody are gonna listen to or believe. They don't go to the kings, they go to the shepherds, and they say this. Luke 2:14, it says, "Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men." The angels, they can't hold in this announcement anymore. They have to come forward. They have to say something to somebody. They're like, don't you realize what's happening? You're sitting here around your fire. You're tending to your sheep and just a couple miles away. Do you see what's happening right now? Do you understand what's taking place? And so they make this announcement, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Again, this isn't something that God just said. God didn't just say, I love everybody. He proved it by sending peace, by showing his goodwill towards all of us. Galatians 4 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that he came into the world in order to save us. So the gift of God to the world is found in his unconditional love for us. John 4 said, or 1 John 4 said, we love because he first loved us. Because we don't have to be afraid, because we don't have to worry about measuring up anymore, because we don't have to live in that bondage, now we can be set free to love in the same radical way that Jesus loved us. And so this is the implied message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that God is with us because he loved us. But also because he loved us, now we can go and we can love others. Now we can go and we can share his love. Now we can go, we can take his gospel, his truth, his message to the world. Amen? Amen. So we say around here all the time that we are a family learning to love like Jesus. What this means to us is we've been given a gift. We've been given something that is incredible, a message of hope that everybody needs to hear. And the loving thing to do is to share that message with as many people as we possibly can. We're a family that's learning to love like Jesus. Because God is love, and now his love, it gets to flow through us. God is love, and so his love flows through us to everybody around us. If I could have Livia go ahead and come back up. In Acts 21, there's a kind of a blink and you'll miss it reference to a small community that the Apostle Paul went to at the end of his third missionary journey. During his brief visit to the city of Patara, he founded a church. It's mentioned literally as he's passing through to another place, and on his way, he stops in the port city of Patara, and he founds a church. About 200 years later, in 270 AD, a man was born in this seaside town who would later become known as the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, pawnbrokers, women who were trying to get pregnant, children, and toy makers. He was born to wealthy Christian parents, and he was raised in the church. However, his parents died during a disease outbreak while he was still young. He was sent to live with his uncle then, who was the bishop of Patara, where he was mentored in reading and was later ordained as a priest. He took very seriously Jesus' command to the rich young ruler to sell all that you own and give it to the poor. And so he found a citizen in Patara who had lost all of his money and needed to support his three daughters and who couldn't find husbands because of their poverty. Back then, it was required that the family would pay a dowry in order for their daughter to get married. And because he had lost his job, he couldn't do that and was actually contemplating giving his daughters over to prostitution so they had some way to make money. Nicholas became informed of this and thus took a bag of gold and threw it in an open window of the man's house during the night. This was the dowry for the eldest girl, and she was soon married. Later, Nicholas did the same thing for the second girl and then for the third girl as well. The last time, the father was on watch and he recognized his benefactor and overwhelmed Nicholas with his gratitude. Legend evolved a little bit, and later on, it came to be said that he didn't throw it through an open window, but instead he threw the gold down the chimney, and it landed in the girl's stockings who were hanging by the fire. This man would later become the Bishop of Myra, a neighboring port town, where he would continue to live and model a life of generosity, self-sacrifice, and love for others. He did all of this because of his love for a God who first loved him. Because he found a love after going through a plague in which both of his parents died, after being sent to live with his uncle, he found a God who loved him. And as he was reading, as he was studying, he realized he needed to do something with the love that had been given to him. He was, because of his the inheritance he received, he started out as a wealthy man. By the time he made it over to be the bishop of Myra, he had given away everything that he owned in order to be able to study for the priesthood. And so we see modeled in St. Nicholas, we see modeled in the early church, that there's only one real response to God's love. We don't hoard it. We don't hang on to it. We don't try to keep it to ourselves. The only way, the only right thing to do is to give it away to somebody else. If you've received love, then our job is to give love. We love because he first loved us. I know some of us in here, we struggle because we're trying to prove ourselves. We want everybody to like us. We want to be accepted. We want to earn people's recognition. And when love feels like that, when it feels like you have to earn it in order to just get some scraps of attention, it's exhausting. It's overwhelming. It creates fear. It creates comparison. It creates competition. If you think of love as being something that's conditional or something that's scarce, it's hard to give it away. But when you realize that you've been loved into God's family, when you stop trying to earn what's already been given, the love of God can flow through you instead of being forced. So today our challenge is to love others the way that God loved us, to love like Jesus loved. God gave us a gift on Christmas morning, Emmanuel, God with us. This is the reason that God came. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit more about this love that God has for us. And so I hope that you guys will join us. But for us in here today, what I want to encourage you is to let go of fear, to let go of comparison, to let go of hurt, and instead to find rest in a God who loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us so that we could have eternal life in him, and to love others because he first loved us. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to receive your love today. God, I pray that nobody would walk out of this place without having come to a knowledge, saving knowledge of you, God, without having received your love. And God, I pray that for each of us, Lord, we would be convicted by the idea that we need to love others in the way that you loved us. God, your challenge for us today is to love, is to share that love, is to show people the way, is to spread your good news because you loved us, you care for us, and you want us to be with you. As we just continue to pray, I want to just give an opportunity right now for anybody in here, if you're tired of striving, you're tired of the struggle, you're tired of trying to earn it, you're tired of trying to measure up, if you're tired of carrying fear with you, I want to give you an opportunity today to accept Jesus into your heart. If you haven't done this yet, I want to encourage you. The Bible says that Jesus is a gift for all of us, but we have to receive that gift. It's not enough just to have somebody hand you a gift, but you've got to open it up, and that's what we're going to do this morning. God wants to pour out his love upon you today. And so I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to invite Jesus into your heart and to allow his love to begin to transform your life. If you're in here today, I'm going to count to three, and all over this place, I'm going to have you guys raise your hands, and what we're going to do is we're just going to say, God, I'm sorry for my sin, and God, I want to live for you. I want to accept this free gift that you've given to me. If you're watching us online today, make sure to click the link in the chat because we want to follow up with you. We want to make sure that nobody walks this journey alone. And if you're here in person, I would just encourage you, when I count to three, go ahead and raise your hand if you want to give your heart to Jesus, either for the first time or if you want to come back to him. Ready? One, two, three. If you're in here, just go ahead and raise your hand high right now. See one hand here in the middle. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give your heart to Jesus today? You can go ahead and put your hand down. Is there anybody else? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Just like on that hillside, when the angels were so excited, they couldn't help but celebrate. Right now, the Bible says that there is rejoicing when one person comes back to God, that all of the angels in heaven cheer. And so we just want to say thank you right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you for new life, God, for people coming back to you. Lord, we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. I want to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to have you guys repeat this prayer after me. If you're in here and you gave your heart to Jesus, when we're done praying, I would encourage you to fill out one of the Next Steps cards and drop it in the offering box, because just like the people online, we want to follow up with you and give you some resources that will help you as you continue on this journey. But this is the first step right here. Everybody, we're going to all pray together. Everybody say, Father God, thank you for sending your Son to live for us, to live with us, to die for us, that we might have eternal life in you. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have kept me away from you. Please forgive me. I want you to be Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give God a hand in this place? Come on. For the rest of us in here, Olivia is going to lead us in a song, I believe. Yep, okay, she's ready. Olivia is going to lead us in a song. We're going to stand together. We're going to take some time to worship. And today, what I want our prayer to be is God, who can I show your love to? I'm so grateful for what you've done for me that I can't help but give it away to somebody else. God, who is that person? So as Olivia leads us in this song, let's go ahead and just pray that prayer together. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet, and Olivia, lead us in this song.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to.
Hopefully, God shared with you somebody that needs to experience His love. If you have an opportunity, I would encourage you to reach out this afternoon and invite them to the service tonight. All you have to say is, hey, my church is doing a special program. I'd love to have you join me. Something like that. Just something quick. But give them an invitation, because we're going to be talking tonight more about the love of God, more about the gift that God gave to us, and that started on Christmas and that was finished in the work of the cross and the resurrection. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that's here. God, we thank you that you are at work. God, I pray that you would show us, God, and that you would share with us, God, somebody that needs your love, somebody that needs to know you. And God, I pray that Lord, as we reach out this afternoon, God, that you would speak to that person. God, that you would help them to accept the invitation. God, I pray for a receptivity today, God, in everybody that gets an invitation. And Lord, I just ask that your Spirit would go before us. God, that you would pave the way so that when we have that conversation, God, it would be fruitful, it would be beneficial, and they would come. God, I believe that, Lord, you are doing such a powerful thing here, God. And that, God, we know that as we learn to share your love, God, that your gospel, your truth is going to be spread throughout Moses Lake. That, God, you are going to draw so many people to you as you are lifted up. And, God, we do all of this in response to your love. And, God, lastly, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we want to stop right now. And we want to say thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent your son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but instead would have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, God is good. Amen. Amen. All right.